Hi there. We'll get started in a minute. Just doing all the business end of things while you all come in. We just have about another minute. Thank you, Kirsten. You see me and hear me. Hi, Kim. Hi, everybody. I'll be right with you. So excited to be here with you. Hello. Where's everybody from? How many West Coasters are here? I want to know. I am a Pacific Northwest gal these days. So, hey. Hi, Geneva. Glad you're here. I see Lake Stevens. So I am in Kalama, Washington, for those of you who are West Coasters. Everett, I see Washingtonians. Welcome, everyone. Oh, I see a Canada. A few. Fantastic. Some Seattle, Northern California. Woohoo! Look at all of you popping in. So we just have a little less than a minute and then we'll officially get started. Boston, New Jersey. All right, here we are. 8 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock here on the Pacific Coast. Welcome, everyone. This is the nighttime eating an urge call. Welcome. I'm Coach Julie. I'm going to do a few announcements, just introduce myself to new members who haven't met me yet, and for those who haven't been on one of my calls. So first, a couple of quick announcements. So Corinne is doing office hours tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock Central. And Wednesday morning, the Facebook Live at 9 a.m. Central, she is going to introduce the Basics 2.0 and the May Challenge. So I highly recommend catching both of those. I am yes, thank you. Candy, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. I am Coach Julie. Again, I live on the West Coast here. I am an OBS coach that works one-on-one with clients who want to work on specific things in their lives more intensely than what the program offers. So I work with clients weekly on meeting their goals. So that's who I am here at No BS. And I want to tell you just a quick moment of my life story. I spent most of my life a pretty fit person. Some of you have heard a little of this, but it's a perfect story for the urge call. I took a fall in 2007 that left my right hand disabled. And I had 7 surgeries. And since the fall, I've had 9 total surgeries on my hand and elbow and arm, and I have very little use of my right limb. In the process of experiencing that pain and the change of my life, I had a lot of thoughts around food, fixing pain, food, taking the pain away, food, making what I saw as a disability go away. And I had to learn that food didn't take any of that away. After I ate, I still had physical pain. After I ate, I still didn't have use of my right hand, and move on. And it wasn't until I found No BS and Corinne that I really learned how to think on purpose. And I really learned that I didn't have to tell myself things like food took pain away. I had created this incredible food habit loop around food and pain and this disability. And what Corinne taught me is I get to think on purpose. I get to decide what not having the use of my limb means for me. And I get to define what the word disability means to me. and I choose to not use it for this purposes. I'm sharing it with you, but in general, I choose to not use it. And I also get to remind myself that having the injury that I had, pain is normal and food doesn't affect it at all. So let's get started. I see there's some hands raised already. Let's dig right in. So raise your hand if you are interested in being coached. If you want to be in the chat, please remember to change the two to panelists and attendees. And let's go for it here. Deanna, I'm going to promote you to panelist. Hi, Deanna. I'm asking you. There you go. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
So well. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. It's funny because I got the email a little while ago and I said, ooh, this is like meant to be because I didn't realize it was going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And that's like the perfect nighttime eating, right?
Isn't it so? Fine. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What do you want to work on tonight?
Well, I had an overeat tonight. I'm kind of disappointed because I have been working on it. I have been working on nighttime eating and after dinner eating. I had some success today with other urges. Mm-hmm. And I even kind of predicted this, and I even had a plan, but I didn't execute the plan all the way, I guess.
What was your plan? Tell me about it.
Well, I was hungrier than usual for dinner because I ate a little later than usual. Mm-hmm. So I knew that would be a factor and would be easy to overeat. So I thought that I would drink a lot of water if food wasn't ready when I walked in the door, because my fiance was going to cook it, but I wasn't sure if it would be ready. So I was going to drink water. It happened to be ready, so I didn't drink the water. My other steps were to eat a certain amount of food, which was one turkey burger and some veggies. And I did that. And then I said, okay, if I think I want to eat more, I'm going to pause. And I did do that. Mm-hmm. And I was still hungry, or at least I thought it was. Mm-hmm. So I continued. And then in the back of my mind, I guess I knew that I wasn't really hungry. And sometimes once I give myself permission, then I continue. Mm-hmm. And then so I kept going back to the kitchen for more small amounts of food at a time. Then I went to the living room and started watching TV. And that's always a big trigger. I sat in a different chair thinking that might help. Didn't as much, except I was more aware in the other chair, but I did still eat there and I definitely wasn't hungry anymore. Mm-hmm. So I did a discovery worksheet, and this is a common thing that I tell myself. It's okay. It's okay for one reason or another. This time it was, yeah.
Yeah. So what was the reason this time?
Because the extra food that I started to eat once I knew I wasn't hungry was protein. Mostly protein, because it was deli chicken, and I dipped it in hummus. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think that's mostly protein. So I was like, well, if I'm going to eat something, at least it's not carbs. That's what I said to myself.
Yeah. Okay. So it's okay. It's protein. That's the thought you had. Yeah. And so what were you feeling in that moment?
I've been working on that feeling too, because since this comes up a lot, the feeling I always think it is permissive. And then I looked it up on Word Hippo recently, and some other words are allowing. Today I found indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a feeling? Yeah.
Yeah. So when you think it's okay, it's protein, and you feel this sense of like allowing or permissiveness, mm-hmm. like that's it right there, right? Because you're immediately like, that's sort of your version of an old shitty. It sounds so good. It's protein, right? Exactly. But it's really just a thought that's hosing you because you're still not hungry regardless of how good it is.
Yes.
Right? Because ultimately an urge is always linked to changing a feeling, right? You're having a feeling
mm-hmm.
that you are trying to avoid. So what were you feeling before the urge came? Like, what were you thinking about? What were you feeling?
Well, I know that it's connected to the need to relax.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But and this is a practiced habit, so a lot of it is automatic, but it definitely is all connected to the need to relax. So maybe tense is the feeling.
Or yeah, so you have this thought that you want to relax, but you actually are feeling tense, and you've created a food habit loop around that, right? Like when you feel that way, you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most, yeah. Is it connected with TV also? Like TV and eating
mm-hmm.
Yeah. has been a big habit loop.
Okay, so you've identified the trigger, like the cues. You've done a little bit of the scientist work, like you totally are seeing you're doing it. You don't appear to be judging it. Is that true?
No, I'm still judging it.
You're still judging
it. I'm working on that.
You haven't shared that part with me. So tell me what you think about it, like giving into the urge.
I think I'm disappointed in myself. Like, I definitely don't get too crazy by myself, but like, I don't put myself down. I just wish it was different. I wish it would be different.
That is really the thought that's hosing you. Cause
yeah.
What's the benefit of it being different? What's the downside of now?
I'm not losing weight.
Okay.
Because I keep doing this.
So are you learning how to sit with your urge?
Slowly but surely. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've like been the scientist. The next step is really like inserting an action instead of eating, right? That's literally where you're at. So you're
I realized recently I must do something different. Now it sounds so obvious, but like a lot of times I don't watch TV because I know that it's such a trigger. I'll go do something else. And because of that, I wind up eating less.
Yeah. But Deanna, when you say the phrase, I must do something different, how does that feel?
I see what you mean. It feels like forced.
Yeah. It's not really much different than saying, I should do something different.
Yes.
Like, what do you want to do?
What I really want is to be able to watch TV and not overeat.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, and the other times I'm okay with doing other things. But like a lot of times I'll just avoid the situation by not watching TV. And then I wind up eating less, which is good in one way. But then when I do give myself permission to watch TV, I'm like, I'll say to myself, okay, this time's going to be different, you know? And sometimes it is, you know, I do have some successful moments, but it's still challenging.
Yeah. And you mentioned like coming up with some solutions for yourself. So I loved it. Try a different chair. Try planning the itty-bittiest snack that you can have while you watch TV, but really like practicing that 90 seconds of just allowing you know, when Corinne talked about that now process, I don't know if you remember, but it was from module 2 of No BS. Mm-hmm. And it's like noticing the feeling, opening yourself up to it, but really it's that welcoming it in part, the W. It's like, it's fine. I'm having this urge. I'm going to sit here for that 90 seconds. That's in action.
That would be wonderful. I think, like I was saying, it was very automatic. So I don't even catch it in time to do that. But maybe if I forecast even more and I say, I know I'm going to have this urge, so let me just do the 90 seconds regardless.
Yes.
Like, and or something, like during the pause, yeah, maybe.
Yes, I love that for you. And doing some paper thinking, like between now and your next urge, which you don't know when it's going to happen so soon, really, yeah, thinking on purpose, deciding how you want to think and feel about it in the moment, and make the commitment to what you're willing to do.
Yeah, I think since it happens so often and so quickly, I have to assume it's going to happen and then prepare.
Yes.
What do you think?
I love that. And I finally, I did my board. I printed up all the worksheets No BS has. And mm-hmm. one of them is the Planning for an Urge worksheet.
Yes. I just printed that today too.
Yeah. So I'm
going try that.
I just posted in the chat a link to the different worksheets that we offer. And I think you doing that worksheet as well would be really handy. So some journaling, some planning and thinking on purpose around how you want to think and feel and what you want to do, and then doing the worksheet. And then find me in Facebook and let me know how you're doing.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's so good to talk it out with somebody.
Happy to take be care. Here with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jen, I'm going to promote you to panelist. I see some great, great advice there in the chat. Hi, Jen.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
All right.
What do you want to work on today?
My issue is, this is so similar to what Deanna said, but just slightly different. So I guess I'll go for it anyway. I almost put my hand out. So for me, it's the same thing, but it's really only on weekends. Mm-hmm. I can sit through urges all week long, no problem. But Friday nights and Saturday nights, when I'm with my family, we're watching movies, we're doing something family time, it's really hard for me to not go ahead and dig into that Dorito bag or, you know, the popcorn or whatever is being shared by everybody during that time. And as a result, like every single weekend, it's got to be more than just the snacks at night, but every single weekend I'm gaining between 2 and 5 pounds just over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I spend the entire week like taking that off. And if I'm lucky, I get a little more, you know, than just what I gained over the weekend, and I have an overall loss for the week. But more often than not, I've just been sustaining week after week.
So you said one of the differences in the weekend is that you're having family time. So what are you making family time mean?
Well, I'm not sure, because we have family, like we watch a show like 2 or 3 nights a week, like during the weekday too. And I don't have any problem skipping the snack those nights.
So what do
you know, it's just on the weekend for some reason.
Yeah. What are you thinking about the weekend that's different?
It's definitely the time to relax, and food is always been my go-to for relaxing, just like Deanna. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So, okay. But how is that thought serving you? The weekend is the time to relax. Fine. What can you relax with that's not food?
Well, we're already relaxing. I'm already sitting in, you know, a recliner or a couch. I'm already watching TV or a movie with my family. It's already relaxing. I don't know why I feel I have to have that snack at the same time.
So when you're in the moment, Like you're actually sitting there, you're in the recliner, you're with the fam, the movie's playing. What are you thinking?
I'm almost constantly thinking about the chips in the pantry. Like they're like calling my name. And sometimes it seriously seems like an out of body experience. It's all of a sudden they're there in front of me and I'm eating them. Sometimes I'm very mindful about it. I plan them. I always plan them every weekend because I know I'm going to want them. But my plan is I have different colored bowls that are different sizes. And I always say one blue bowl, for example, which is just a cereal bowl. Like that should be enough. Yeah. That should be plenty. And, you know, sometimes I'll go get a second or a third blue bowl, for example.
Why should it be enough? Should.
Because every other night of the week, I don't need a snack at all at night. And I go to bed and I'm fine. So I feel like my body physically doesn't need it. And I don't know that I'm necessarily waiting for hunger.
So tell me why you're choosing it on the weekends and not choosing it on the weekdays. What's different in your head?
I've just weighed. I have time to make up for it. Unfortunately, I do say that in my head.
Oh, there it is, right there. Yeah. Like, I just weighed, I have time to make up for it.
Yeah. I'm so used to fixing it and I'm getting so good at fixing it, you know, that I kind of go overboard on the weekend and then I'm so tight all week. Like I'm so on key with everything, Sunday night to Friday morning.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the benefit of being so tight, as you're saying it, on the weekend, only to eat your face off on the weekends? Like,
there's no benefit at all. There's none at all. Saying this all out loud, it makes me, definitely not worth it.
So how do you want to show up for you?
Well, when I've talked it through with my accountability group, you know, we talk about like adding those favorite things like the Doritos throughout the week. And I've done that and I'll have them with my lunch or I'll have them, you know, planned, even though I don't actually end up eating them most of the time, they are on my plan and they're available to me, you know, so I have tried that, but for some reason I get to the weekend and I still overindulge most of the time. So then I end up like I try that for a couple weeks. And then since I still overindulge anyway on the weekend, then I end up cutting it back out of my week because it didn't work. So why add the extra food that I don't need necessarily during the week? Although I'm not saying that right, because during the week, I tend to not eat when I'm not hungry. So I'm still thinking of it as good food and bad food, I think.
Yes, I think that's true.
Even though,
You even said, like, I'm so tight during the week. Like, your perception of it is like you're doing it so perfectly, and then you weigh and you're so happy, and then you just blow it because you've got time. Yep. So, that's your thought. Like, that's the thought. Like, I think if Corinne were here, she'd say, slow your roll in that moment and like show up. How do you want to think about it? Like, do you really want to be every time you weigh saying to yourself, like, I got time to make up for it?
No, definitely not. When I do my weigh-in worksheet, my first thought is not, you know, that I'm going to loosen up or lighten up on my, that's not my first thought. In the moment, I'm like, I'm going to keep it up when I have a loss. I'm going to get through this weekend and I'm going to keep it going. But then, you know, Friday night comes and it's a different story.
But even that, Jen, the sentence, I'm going to get through this weekend. Like, honestly, how does that feel?
Yeah, like it's going to be hard. Like, I'm making it way harder than it needs to be.
It sounds horrible. Like, I want to eat the chips with your family watching the movie. Because getting through the weekend, like, you get to Friday and you're like, I can get through this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And more like it's a reward for having gotten through the week.
Yeah.
You know, because the week can be stressful. So
fine. Like that's the thing. So a week could be stressful. How else could you reward yourself? If food weren't a reward, how else could you reward yourself?
Mm. Well, I mean, I have strategies for when I'm not with my family, you know, so I love taking baths. I like, you know, I like going through my no BS stuff and working on my data. I like watching certain shows or listening to certain books. So I have things that I like to do to relax. And I can get through most of that just fine. You know, it really is very specific situations that lead me to want the food, you know. So
yeah,
where I feel like I'm doing something where I can't use one of those strategies, you know, because we're all sitting together. So I think I just need to, you know, like one time I had my iPad out and every time I wanted to go get chips, I just wrote on the iPad, "I am not hungry." And I put my pen down and I waited again and then wrote it again, "I am not hungry." By the time the movie was over, I had written it down at least 15 times, but I didn't get the snack. I didn't get it.
Yeah, that's so
maybe
clever.
I just need to keep doing that until it's not an issue in my mind anymore.
Yeah, that's so clever. But I do want to take you back when I asked you, like, what other things do you do to relax? And then you said you can get through those things. But really what I mean is, like, when you're sitting with your family and you are, you know, allowing the urge and feeling the feeling, it's like, what could you look forward to? Like, the kids are going to go to bed. Is there something you could offer yourself that, like, while you're sitting there, and I love the writing on your iPad, but while you're experiencing that, like, I'm going to look forward to that bath, or I'm going to look forward to what?
I'm going to look forward to going to sleep.
Okay.
Because by the time the movie's over, it's like midnight probably, because my kids are a little older, you know, so we're lucky if we start the movie by 9:30, 10 o'clock. So by then I am done and it is time for bed. Yeah, I'm having a hard time keeping myself awake. So,
yeah. I mean, I think it's important to remember, if you can sit with the urge, like, the urge will end. It's either going to end with food, or it's going to end with you saying no.
Right.
And so you practice the movie and the family triggering the eating, but you just are less practiced in saying no.
Right. Definitely.
And so, yeah, like, really going back to the last call, like, noticing, letting the feeling happen, being open to it and welcoming it, and then, you know, allowing yourself to look forward to something else that feels really good and relaxing, like sleeping or taking a bath. And also in the moment, like, I loved your iPad idea, and that is very similar to putting the money in the urge jar that so many of us do. You know, you see, you saw 15 "I'm not hungry." That's the same as me seeing $5 in my urge jar.
Right. Yeah. So, good point.
Yeah. So, you know, also rewarding yourself for practicing saying no, and then acknowledging how many times you did that. Because, yeah, you said, "I'm not hungry," but you know what? 15 times you told yourself no.
Right.
That's amazing. That's you doing it right.
Right. I just need to focus on that and how good that felt.
Right.
And anticipate it coming pre-urge. I don't think I've ever done a pre-urge worksheet. I always forget about those.
Yeah. Do the pre-urge, do the successful urge worksheet. You know, really blow the heck out of the successful part of it. Because you did, when you wrote that on your iPad, that's what was happening. You were successfully sitting through the urge and acknowledging it.
Right. That's true. Okay. I think I've got some good strategies. I think that's really going to help make this next weekend much more successful.
Super. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, Jen. Good to,
you too.
Good to have you come up. Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, thank you all for being here. This is such a great call. Deborah, I'm not sure I am saying your name correctly, so you can correct me if I've said it wrong. asking you to unmute, Deborah, and also to start your video. And Laura, before, if you know you have urges at certain times, and then when it just starts, I see your question in the chat. When it just starts, if you're catching it then, but either way, doing the pre-urge is good. Hi, is it Deborah? Am I saying that correctly?
You are saying it. Yes, you're saying good. It correctly. It's Deborah. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Welcome. How can I support you today?
Well, I have come to realize that my urges are tied to, I guess you could call it, I don't know if it's PTSD or trauma. Mm-hmm. And I have recognized when my overeating started, and it has to do with when my now 18-year-old child was hurt very badly. Mm-hmm. It was in the hospital for months. Mm-hmm. And I stayed at the hospital, and the only time I would allow myself to leave his side was to go get food when he finally fell asleep. And this has become a very deep and entrenched habit loop for me, to the point where if my husband goes upstairs to get in the shower, I am up off the couch and headed for the pantry to get food before I even really realize what I'm doing. And so I think I need some strategies. I mean, I recognize it. I understand what I'm doing. I understand where it comes from. But what can I do to break those habits that are so, so long?
Yeah. So you're right. Like, you do have a pretty developed food habit loop, but there's also this part that's connected to a past story. Have you done any of the rewriting the past work from the self-love course?
No, this is the first time I've heard hearing of it.
Yeah, so we have a self-love course in the bonus section. I apologize. It's now called the self-paced workshops section on the website, and I'll make sure I post the link here to the call. And there's a self-love course, and we have a bunch of worksheets about rewriting the past. And we've done some calls about rewriting the past. And that might be a great place to start for you, as opposed to like only working towards the urge part of it, because the mm-hmm. rewriting the past allows you to take the story from the time that it happened, you know, because it's really just what you think of it today, right? So a factual mm-hmm. thing happened to your child, and your child was in the hospital a certain number of days. You stayed overnight a certain number of days. Those are the facts. And then you have a lot of thoughts and feelings about the experience, mm. right? And yeah. you've carried them forward through your life. But now you have all kinds of new tools with No BS and in life to yes. process through that life experience and look at it differently. And mm-hmm. look at it through the eyes of you today, as opposed to from the perspective of you when you were experiencing it and the trauma of it. This rewriting the past work, I've done a lot of, and I myself have done a call on it and shared my own story about rewriting the past. It can be really powerful work. And okay. I recommend you looking at that before you only work on the urge itself, because right away, your first, even when you opened up the communication with me here, the first thing you did was connect it to this traumatic event. And so yes. I think the benefit for you would be to rewrite that traumatic event from through your eyes today. And then come back to the urge work, knowing that you'll have better tools to, you're seeing your cues and triggers. Like, you already know what they are.
Yes.
But you still have a lot of thoughts and feelings about the traumatic experience. Yes.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
So in your specific case, Deborah,
the first step would be doing the rewriting your past work that's inside the self-love course.
Okay. I will go and I will find that. And I think that you're right. It is still very, very painful. And, you know, it's been a long time. I mean, my son is fine now and we have talked about it. I think it just stems from me as a mother feeling like I failed my son.
Right. But is that actually true?
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's exactly. You know, but mothers like to do that, right? We like, you know, we take the world on our shoulders and, you know, so.
Of course you do. That's so normal. But this will help you relieve some of that pressure, I think. And
yes.
And then like do the rewriting your past work and then come back to the urge section in No BS with that story a little bit more neutralized.
I will go and do that tomorrow because it's late now. But
thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Mary, I'm going to promote you to panelist. Someone in the chat asked about the urge jar. So while Mary's coming on, I'm going to tell you all about it. So lots of us members do an urge jar. So whenever we successfully sit with an urge, we put money in a jar. And you save that money for something great. Mary, I'll be right with you. I'm just answering one quick question. Thank you. And so like my accountability partner from all the way back when I joined No BS, we've been keeping an urge jar for when we get together for something fun we can do together. And so I wish I could reach it. I would show you. It's like I have this big glass jar with all these $5 bills. Every time I sit with an urge, I put a $5 bill in the jar. And some people do beads and it fills up and then do fun things with the money, you name it. So Mary, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
It's my first. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. It's your first call?
It's my first call. I mean, I've been watching calls. It's just my first time getting coached. So,
well, welcome. I'm glad you raised your hand. What do you want to work on?
So I am okay with nighttime eating. After dinner, I typically don't snack or anything. That's fine. My problem is more like on my way home from work and between dinner. So I eat lunch around between 12 and 1. I get off work at 3 and then I have an hour commute. And so usually by the time I get home, I'm so hungry and my resolve is so low that it's just like, I've just been looking through my discovery worksheets as I've been waiting. And the two most common reasons are I wanted it and fuck it.
Cool. So you've done a fair amount of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
So I don't know. It's like, I logically know, you know, I logically know all the things that I should do, right? I should pause. I should wait, put it on my plan for tomorrow, all this stuff. I logically know that, but it's like my lizard brain takes over and I'm just like, fuck it, whatever. I'm just going to do it.
So using the motivational triad that Corinne talked about to us, like we seek pleasure, we avoid pain, and we try to conserve energy. And so oftentimes our urges are literally like generated as an avoidance to feel something. So let me ask you, during your hour commute, what are you thinking about? What are you?
I think it depends on what's going on after work. If I have to get somewhere or if I just, you know, I don't know. Up until recently, I've been studying for a big test, but that's over. Anxiety is another huge pattern that I notice. Anytime I'm anxious, I just would love to stuff my face and not feel my anxiety.
Why not?
Yeah.
What's the problem with feeling anxiety?
It feels really uncomfortable. Well, so does overeating, but it feels very uncomfortable in my body. Like I can't rest. I just feel like my shoulders are up by my ears and it's just, I don't, and it's not like it passes quickly, right? Like, I guess I have used eating to soothe my anxiety, right? Like it feels so much better and is comforting, I guess.
Does it though? Does it feel so much better?
It does. It does. That's why it's sort of hard to, it's, I feel like I'm stuck. Like I've been in no BS since last September. Did the challenge right before then. I have stayed the same weight, which is okay. I mean, at least I haven't gained weight, so that's okay. But it's feeling frustrating because I do feel better when I eat. My anxiety is soothed.
But then does it come back?
The anxiety?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So then why are you telling yourself it feels better? Like it doesn't take it away. It's going to come back.
Well, I mean, it comes back, you know, like the next day or something.
But still, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that actually better?
I mean, it's not better for my life goals and what I want for my future self.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find something that is, I guess foolproof is the wrong word, but something that would work more consistently to build in that pause and just build in that, hey, hold on, time out. Let's take a second and try to remember, you know, when I'm feeling that fuck it urge, it's like, okay, hold on, time out. Yeah. This is really what I want.
Tell me about trying to avoid anxiety. So you described the sensation. So you have obviously at least attempted to sit with it, right? Because you felt tight in your shoulders and neck. You felt tingly. So how often have you tried to sit with your anxiety?
Quite a bit, I would say. More often than not, I am more successful than not at sitting with it. It just happens to be that during those hours, that's when I feel like I am most able to careen off the road.
Like literally and figuratively. Right.
Well, no, I've given myself a rule. I'm like, let's just not eat while driving. How about that? Let's just try not eating while driving.
How's that going?
That is okay from work to home. But then some days I have to get my kid and then we go to our horse, which is about another 45 minutes away. And invariably he'll want to stop for fast food. And it's all my plan, right? But and ideally, in my ideal world, I wait till we get there and then I eat it. I'm still in the car probably, but I'm not driving. But sometimes I'm so hungry that I'm just like, all right, I'm going to eat it.
So you're planning it and you're having hunger and you're eating it and you're not overeating it.
Yes, I am overeating it.
You are overeating it. To what level? Like eating it. Like to totally satisfied?
Oh yeah, beyond satisfied. Like to full.
And then go ahead.
And the problem is too, is that if I'm doing anything else while I'm eating it, especially driving, I don't recognize that I'm getting full because I'm driving, right? Like
yeah. So it's interesting that you consciously have observed like there's a part of no BS that's about ending urges. You've done step one. You've totally been able to like consciously observe yourself. You said yourself, like, I know the things to do. The objection phase is like where connecting the dots. And in the moment you're able to like say to yourself, like, I see, this is it. I can not give in to this today. And you kind of sit there some, And then you give into the urges thumb, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, what do you want to do instead of eat? Like, what other options? Like, you're driving. Do you listen to No BS? What do you do in the car other than that?
I listen to podcasts, No BS and other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes music.
Drink your water?
Yeah, sometimes if I know that there's going to be a bathroom available.
I'm with you. I'm so with you on that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So when you're just noticing it, like, what are you having? You're driving. What are you having anxiety about? Give me the last time.
Just driving in general makes me anxious because other people on the road make me mad.
Oh, okay. So how they show up, how they drive, like, what is it?
Yeah, yes.
You have thoughts about their performance?
I have thoughts about their driving. Yes, I do.
Okay. So,
and I drive a lot.
That's so interesting, though, because that's something totally in your control. Like, you could decide to think differently about other people driving. That would cause you less anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then you would have to sit with anxiety less. And then you'd have less urges. And then you'd eat less. And then you'd stay on plan. So is it the urge that we want to deal with? Or what about the thoughts about the other drivers?
I mean, everything, right? Like,
yeah. So, well, just use that as an example. How could you think differently about, like, we have no control over them. They're going to operate their vehicle how they do.
Right.
Like, what could you think about it instead that does not generate anxiety?
Well, my more generous and compassionate self says they are, you know, dealing with their own stuff. You don't know what's going on in their lives that's causing them to drive however I'm judging them to drive.
Yeah.
They could just, you know, maybe they have a cake on their front seat. I don't know. And they're going to an important party and they have to be careful and slow.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. But what you're showing me is examples of, like, ways you could choose to think, like, they're showing up the best they can and I'm showing up the best I can.
Yeah.
Like, when you think something like that, how does that make you feel?
Calm. Kind.
Yeah. See, you have a lot of knowledge about your urge and management of your urges. But in this particular instance, it maybe is working on your thoughts to not generate your own anxiety.
So just, like, try to change my thoughts and...
Yeah, so that's so easy to say, right? We always say, oh, just change your thoughts, right? So, but this is also an opportunity for some people thinking where you know you drive an hour every day, at least commute back and forth to work. So that's 2 hours. And you're driving to the horse 45 minutes each way. So however many times a week you're doing that. And so you're driving a lot. So maybe doing some journaling around, like, a protocol about your thinking, how you want to show up as the driver, how you want to show up to yourself. Like, do you want to have thoughts that generate anxiety?
No.
So what feeling, calm, you said, do you want to have, right? So what thought would generate calm? And we've talked about it already, but, like, sort of a little bit of a recap.
I think mostly I would like to think I will get there when I get there. And it's okay no matter what time I get there.
Yeah. And then if that generates the calm and the calm doesn't generate the eating, then you've tackled your urge from managing your mind. Right? Because the urge comes from the anxiety and the anxiety comes from the thoughts. And you want to avoid feeling the anxiety. So tackling it from all ways, right? Being willing to practice sitting a little bit more with your anxiety. Awesome. but also being able to choose thoughts that don't generate anxiety.
Yeah. I didn't know I was going to come on and talk about my commute.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I definitely will journal about this.
Okay.
I have a lot of thoughts about it.
I love it. So that can be a topic. Like, just go for it, right? The paper's so safe. Like, all the things you think about it, all the ways you feel. And then maybe another column or another page where it's like, for each thought, like, how do I want to think about this? How do I want to feel?
That's really good. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you so much for raising your
hand. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Bye, Mary.
Bye.
All right. We can probably get in one more person. Mary, you're going. Cindy, you've got your hand raised. I'm bringing you to panelists, Cindy. I think Cindy's going to be our last person tonight. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
What do you want to work on tonight?
One of my things, and it's a strange urge, but my big thing that I've been really dealing with, especially over the last couple of weeks, is that when everyone goes to bed, I sneak in the kitchen and just start eating.
Okay. Why are you doing it?
And I think part of it is I tell myself that I've been good during the day, so I deserve to be able to have a reward. And then I get on the scale, like I got on the scale this morning and had weigh in and was very unhappy with the number that I saw on there because it went up a lot. And I don't know, just to get past that. And I'm really bad. I do not do the discovery worksheets. I've not done the urge worksheets, that kind of thing. I'm really bad about that. I guess just some to help me kind of process exactly what it is I'm thinking and why I'm doing this.
Well, first tell me why you're not doing any worksheets. And also, I want to know if you're planning the food.
I am planning the food. I'm sorry. I'm planning, but I'm not planning the food that I'm eating.
Okay.
At night. And I think I don't have all the worksheets easily accessible to me. And so I think, well, I'll do it tomorrow because this is kind of late at night. And then, I never do it the next day because I get so busy with everything else. I forget.
Okay. So, is that true? You really forget.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes not.
You really just don't want to look at it, right?
Yeah, I don't want to admit that I did that. I don't want to. I want it to be okay. And me, I want to do all this stuff and still lose the weight. And I know I can't do it that way.
So I think first let's start with like, what do you think the worksheets mean? Like, what are you making doing the discovery worksheet mean?
I guess that I have to admit that I messed up.
Okay. I mean, so that's one way to look at it, right? But that way is getting you to not, like, that feels like what?
It feels bad. It feels like I'm punishing myself.
Yeah, it feels punishing. And then what do you not do? You don't do a worksheet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, right? So that's clearly not working for you.
No, it's not.
So does everyone think the discovery worksheet is punishing? Does everyone think it means they're failing or doing something wrong?
Mm-mm.
No, it's just your thoughts, right?
It's like, my thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're amazing. I think I learn the most about myself when I do a discovery worksheet. I think, yay, it's an opportunity to learn something about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want to think about the discovery worksheet?
I want to think they're helpful. I just saw where somebody posted in the chat that it's just data. That's where I want to get to.
I didn't see that go by, but yay you, whoever said that, because that was what I was going to say to you. The next thing is, like, if you notice, most of the callers so far tonight have a lot of data about what they're thinking about, what they're doing, when they do it, where they do it, how they do it. And it's important to collect your own data to see your own patterns. Like, one thing you said to me is, when your husband goes or your family goes to bed, you go in there and eat. So what is it about them going to bed that makes you want to go eat?
They won't see me do it.
I'm not going to
my husband's really should you be doing that? Really, should you eat that? And then I think, if he goes to bed, then I don't have to hear him say that.
But you still hear him say it, right?
Yeah, I do. But then I get the satisfaction of sneaking and doing it. And I feel like I've won.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that whole sneaking thing, like, are you not planning that food at all? Like, how many times a week is this happening?
Well, it's happened the last 2 weeks. It's happened just about every night.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was not planned food. It was, you know, maybe I'd go get a piece of loaf of bread or, you know, just something small and eat it. And then, I'm with the urge. I'll sit with the urge for it for a little while, for a good 30 minutes or so. And then I'm just like, it won't go away. So I need to go satisfy that urge so that it'll go away.
So have you done any of Coach Jane's calls on the Binge Better program, or done any of the work in the Binge Better program?
I actually have not.
So I would highly recommend that you, again, in the self-paced, I think is the word, workshop section on the No BS website, there's a Binge Better course. And if this course applies to whether you consider yourself a binge eater or not, it's phenomenal. Coach Jane does all the coaching calls, and they are all in replay. And I think that would be a great place for you to start.
Okay.
So that you can start to learn some of the techniques that are in that workshop and take a little different approach.
Okay. I will do that.
Good. And then all of her calls, I think I said, are in replay. And so she did the course a month or two ago. So if you find, go to the replay section on the website and put her name in, Jane, there are calls from each week that go along with the workshop as well. And I think that would be an excellent place for you to start.
Okay. Yeah. I had not thought about it as aspect of binging, but yeah, I can kind of see that after talking through it.
Well, the thing is like, I think sometimes we get hung up on labels of things. But like, I don't consider myself a binge eater, and I got so much from the course and so much from her weekly calls that I think it applies to anyone who overeats and anyone who's a member. That's a great part of No BS, is you can apply almost anything to your own situation. But she offers so many techniques. You're welcome. I saw someone mention resources. So I will also post the link basically to that workshop page in the show notes so that you can go right to it when this is posted tomorrow, Cindy.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, ladies, we are done for the evening. I just want to thank you all so much for being here. I think maybe I have a minute or two, so I'll just check if anybody... Oh, thank you for posting that. Oh, I just want to thank you all for coming out for this specific call. Thank you, Kathy and Katie and everyone for being here. For those of you who raised your hand, I am so sorry we didn't get to you. And I would urge you to go to Ask Coaches and ask your question. And myself and the other coaches will answer your questions and support you with your urges. And I hope to do this again with you soon. And I will see you very soon. Thank you so much. Thanks, all. You're amazing.